Cinemas present The Waitress Still Waits. This week's front-page drama, The Waitress Still Waits, is a dramatization of a true life story entitled Bang and the Cinderella Woke Up, which will both amaze and amuse you when you read it in next Sunday's American Weekly. Rightfully called The Nation's Reading Habit because it is read by more people than any other periodical in the world. Insists on the Sunday newspaper that brings you The American Weekly, the magazine that comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. It is just past 10 o'clock at night when the last of the dinner patrons have departed and the waitresses of the new Metropolitan Cafe are hurriedly changing from the trim white and blue uniforms into their street clothes. Janet Thomas and Edith Daniels are close friends and they share a little two-room apartment and usually go home together. But tonight, Janet seems to be in a hurry and is not waiting for her friend, Edith.
Say, hold on. Why so a hurry? What's the rush?
Sorry, Edie, can't wait. I got a date.
Oh, now I get it. So that's why that good-looking, well-dressed guest has been coming in and sitting at your table for the past few nights. I thought he was on the make for you.
He's no Jasper. He isn't on the make, and he's a perfect gentleman. He's a stranger in town. He's lonely. He just asked me if I'd like to go out and show him one of the better-class nightclubs.
That's laugh number one. Why should he ask you to show him the better-class nightclubs? You've never been closer to one on the outside curb.
But that's the same. I know where they are, and I'm going to show him.
How comes he always picks one of your tables to sit at? What have you got that I haven't got?
Well, thanks. Well, so long, Edie. Don't wait up for me. I'll probably be late.
Okay, Cinderella. But remember, when the clock strikes 12, hurry home. Don't forget, we got the early trick tomorrow morning to save your strength.
Yeah, have to remind me of such things when I'm out to enjoy myself for once.
Go ahead. Hurry up and meet your Prince Charming before he gets tired of waiting and walks out on you.
Okay, good night, Edie. Wish me luck.
I do. Have a good time. Good night.
Oh, don't make too much noise and wake me up when you come in.
I'll be careful.
Are you awake?
Hey, I thought I asked you to be quiet when you came in. What's the idea of waking me up?
Because I couldn't help it. I'm so excited.
Hey, go to bed and let me sleep. Look at the time. 1:30.
What the heck with the time? You got to wake up and listen to me. It's too good to be true. It's something that happens just once in a lifetime.
Now, listen. 1:30 in the morning is no time to be telling fairy tales. Oh, go on. Let me go to sleep.
But Edie, he wants to marry me.
What? Say that again.
He loves me. He wants to marry me. Honest to goodness, Edie. We're going to pick out the engagement ring after work tomorrow afternoon.
Say, wait a minute. Not so fast. Start from the beginning and give it to me slowly.
Well, it's just like I said. He wanted to see some of the better nightclubs, so he went to the Continental, and did he spend money? Wow, he must be a millionaire. Oh, but don't get me wrong. He's not one of those flashy show-off guys. He's quiet and refined, drinks like a gentleman, dances beautifully, and has elegant manners.
Okay, to the character references. So where did he get all his money? What's his racket?
Phoebe.
Oh, pardon me. What's his business?
He's president of a big trucking company all over the country. He's a self-made man. Works himself up from a mechanic. We stayed in the Continental, and he told me how I began working at night in high school. Didn't even go to college. I was so interested in his story, I forgot about showing him around. Finally, I looked at the time. It was 1 o'clock. I never realized time could go so fast.
I didn't know what time it was. I get it. But how did he come to propose?
He'd come into that if he only stopped interrupting me. When I realized it was 1 o'clock, I said I'd have to go. And then he said, I hope I haven't bored you with all this personal stuff because I hope it'll be important. I love you and want you to marry me. I don't know what to say.
There's always the old chestnut. Oh, dear, but this is so sudden.
I thought he was kidding me. And when I told him so, he said, very well, meet me after work tomorrow afternoon and I'll prove it. We'll pick out your engagement ring.
Why doesn't something happen to me? Here we are both working in the same restaurant. In Walter's a wealthy Prince Charming. A dozen tables for him to sit at, but does he pick one of mine? No, he sits down at one of your tables. And what happens? He falls free in 5 easy sessions. Oh, I give up.
Promptly at 2:30 the following afternoon found our heroine Janet walking on air, holding her breath for fear that the whole thing was a dream, that she might suddenly wake up. But no, there at the appointed spot, right on the dot, was her Prince Charming. He greeted her warmly, took her gently by the arm, and together they walked into one of the city's best jewelers.
Is there something I can do for you, please?
Yes, I'm Mr. Malcolm. I called this morning.
Oh, yes, Mr. Malcolm. You called about looking over some diamonds and engagement ring settings. I have them all ready, Mr. Malcolm. Will you step this way, please?
Thank you. The ring is for my fiancée, Miss Thompson.
Oh, how do you do, Miss Thompson? Will you have a chair here? I have the stones and settings in this case. This is only one collection, Mr. Malcolm. If you do not find what you want here, I shall be glad to show you others. Shall we look at the stones first? Now, here is a rather unusual stone.
Oh, it is lovely.
Beautifully cut and exquisitely brilliant, but a trifle too small, I'm afraid. Miss Thomas has rather attractive hands and can easily wear something a little larger.
I agree with you, Mr. Malcolm. Perhaps this square-cut stone here would be more appropriate.
Yes, yes, that's better.
Oh, Roger, that is a gorgeous stone.
Yes, it is a beauty, but let me... There's the very stone, that emerald-cut diamond there.
Ah, that is the most superb stone in the collection, Mr. Malcolm. Absolutely flawless.
Do you mean that I'm...
Absolutely, my dear. I would think of nothing else.
Oh, God, you extravagant old darling. You mustn't do it.
Why not? Don't you like it?
I adore it.
No, but, my dear, as long as you like it, that's all that's necessary. Now, about the setting, something in plain platinum, don't you think?
Yes, Mr. Malcolm, I have the very setting. I only hope it will suit you, Miss Thomas. Now, here it is. Won't you just slip it on, please?
Thank you. It fits perfectly.
Yes, I agree with you, Mr.
Wallace.
Sir. Yes, Mr. Wallace, that setting is perfection itself. Now, I want a short inscription.
Second.
Wait, I'll write it on the back of my card. To Janet, from Roger, love eternal. There, and I'm at the wrist.
Now, this would be a rather delicate job of mounting, Mr. Malcolm. We should like a few days on it, if possible.
Oh, rather, we're in no hurry for a day or two. Call me in a day or so before it's ready, and I'll have my representative stop in with a cashier's check for the full amount, if that's quite satisfactory.
Perfectly, Mr. Malcolm. We'll notify you when it's ready so that you may drop in and examine it before we make delivery.
That'll be excellent. Now, dear, we've got to run along. We've got more shopping to do before tea.
Yes, Roger, dear.
Yeah, good afternoon, Miss Thomas. Mr. Malcolm.
Good afternoon.
We'll call you in the next few days.
Good afternoon, Mr. Malcolm. Good afternoon.
Roger, dear, why are we coming here?
A little matter of a fur coat, my dear. I noticed you shivered quite a little last night and today.
Oh, I didn't, Roger. I was trembling. I was very excited. But after all, dear, I'm not used to such...
Nonsense, nonsense, dear. Not another word. Winter's coming on. You'll need a fur coat.
But Roger, dear...
Don't be silly, dear. You ought to be my wife. Dress accordingly. Let's have a bet.
Bob, good afternoon. And, Lucille, what can I show you?
A fur coat, my fiancée, please.
Maybe. Something in mink or saber membrane? I'd prefer mink, please. Maybe. If you would step this way, I would give it my personal attention. I think I have just the coat for membrane. Voila, membrane. If you would try this on. Oh, almost perfect, membrane. Is it not, monsieur?
Yes, very becoming indeed. Well, Janet, dear, how do you like it? Look at yourself in the mirror over there.
Oh, darling. Beautiful, but we women then. I know, a little alteration, but we can arrange that perfectly. Roger, dear, must it be so extravagant? I really don't
think
so.
We'll see what alterations are needed. Make the necessary arrangements for a future fitting at once. As for the price, I'll have my representative send a certified check for the full amount.
And so it went on all afternoon. The jewelers, the furriers, the dressmakers. Poor little Janet was in a daze, but everywhere Roger was master of the situation. The personnel in the stores were duly impressed by his firm but cordial and very impressive manner, his impressive business card and address at the very expensive hotel. After a very busy afternoon of shopping, there was tea, then home to dress for dinner, and another evening of gaiety in the exclusive night spot. Then at last, tired but happy, Janet came home to rest.
Well, well, well. If it ain't the elegant society, Deb, the future Mrs. Roger Malcolm. Well, if I'm not being too inquisitive, how goes the merry social world? Oh, Edie, I can't begin to tell you. I was never so supremely happy in all my life. Edie's so wonderful. I still can't realize it's all happened. Gosh, all in 2 short days. Well, it took a long time to do it, but you certainly hit the jackpot. Diamond platinum engagement ring, mink coat, exclusive Paris fashion, imported silk handmade lingerie, tea at the Ritz, dining and dancing at the best places. Oh, you certainly are doing it upright.
And tomorrow we pick out the house.
What? Say, what about your job? Well,
that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Roger wants you to quit at once. In fact, he insists on it. He's going to call Nick tomorrow morning and tell him.
So what? I hope you didn't expect to go on dealing out blue plate specials right up to the day of your wedding. Roger is right. You can't afford to go on working and engaged to a guy in his position. Oh, what would keep a friend?
I hate to run out Nick like this without any notice or anything. After all, he's been a pretty good boss.
Sure, but he'll understand. Besides, he can get another girl in plenty of time. Oh, but say, forget about the job. Give me the latest lowdown on the romance.
Oh, he's wonderful. So gentlemanly, courteous, kind, considerate.
Hey, wait. There's a dictionary over there if you're running out of adjectives. Now, how about the house? Where are you going to live?
Out in Westchester. Mm. Roger wanted to build mine, but I said no. I wanted a place ready when we came back from our honeymoon.
Oh, yes, the honeymoon. Where are you going?
30-day cruise to South America. Roger said we can't afford to leave his business any longer than that.
Oh, just a 30-day cruise to South America. Oh, that's tough. Say, find me a guy like that, and I'll settle for a round trip on a Staten Island ferry.
Well, anyway, Roger made an appointment tomorrow morning to drive out and see the house. We're taking along an interior decorator who's going to furnish the place while we're away.
Say, you couldn't use an old friend for a maid to take care of the back bedroom, could you?
You're impossible. Oh, don't worry. There'll always be a place for you as a guest, too.
And so it went on far into the night. Next morning, Janet met her Prince Charming, and together with the realtor and the interior decorator, they drove out to look at their 15-room love nest, complete with a 2-car garage. Once again, all the details were masterfully settled by Roger. Then luncheon, tea, and dinner with another night of dancing. Tired but happy, Janet went home to bed, promising to meet Roger for lunch the following day. But that morning, there was a rousing knock at her door.
Who is it? Who's there?
It's the law. Open up quickly.
Just a moment.
Your name, Janet Thomas?
Yes, what does it mean?
All right, you people, come on in.
This is the place, all right.
Now then, is this the gal?
Yes, I'm positive.
Yes, that's the girl.
Fiancé, he called
her.
Baker.
Oui, that is her. Here's the one.
Yes, that's her, right enough. I drove her out with him to look at the house.
Positively. I never forget a face. And how well I can remember this one. That's her officer.
Okay, now quiet, everybody. Quiet.
What does this mean, officer? What's the idea of all these people bursting into my room?
Well, you know a fellow that's been running around calling himself Roger Malcolm, president of the Great National Trucking Corporation?
Certainly. We're engaged to be married.
Not if we see him first, you ain't.
What do you mean?
Just this. This fella's a swindling crook. His name ain't Roger Malcolm. It's Tommy Calhoun. The only trucking business he's ever been connected with is the Goodwill Charity. And he drove a truck for them.
Well, I'm sure you must be mistaken, officer, by Roger.
Is this his picture?
Well, yes, but even then...
Hold on a minute, miss. Let me do the talking. This Roger Malcolm, or Tommy Calhoun, or whatever his name is, worked for the Goodwill Charity. That's the organization that runs a chain of thrift shops. Rich society people give the Goodwill people their secondhand clothes, books, old jewelry, furniture, and things like that to sell in the thrift shop. And all the money goes to the Goodwill Charity. Your boyfriend drove around collecting for them. That's where he got all those fancy clothes from.
I can't believe it. Why, he lived at the Ritz. He had plenty of money.
Now, we know all that. He lived at the Ritz for a week. Always paid his bill all right. He also spent plenty of money taking you to nightclubs and places. That's why we're looking for him. We were over the Ritz, but he flew the coop, skipped town. So we've got to arrest you as an accessory.
So instead of rushing off to the preacher, our little Cinderella, Janet Thomas, was rushed off to police headquarters. It was a queer case from the legal point of view. Various merchants had lost money on goods and alterations, but neither money nor goods had changed hands. The real victim for whom the swindle had been rigged was poor little Janet, who thought she was going to be a millionaire's bride in another 24 hours. To add insult to injury, they tried to hold her in some way to blame, but the judge wouldn't hear of it. So a disillusioned Cinderella is back in a restaurant kitchen and dining room. If Prince Charming should ever look in that door again, how the dishes will fly. You have just heard the front page drama, The Waitress Still Waits, a dramatization of an unusual feature story to be found in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine that is read by more people than any other publication in the world and comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper.